Coming of Henry Morgan by Nigel Holloway. Nantes, 1666.
Your name?
Alexandre Olivier Excumella.
Place of birth?
Harfleur.
Age?
20.
Occupation?
I am a student of medicine.
Do you profess the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
And yet you do not practice the rites of the one true church.
So you say.
So I say. So say those who accuse you. You are a Huguenot.
Yes, I am.
The boy has courage, Signor Nittard.
How many times do I have to tell you I am not Spanish?
Forgive me.
I am Austrian. And do not ask my forgiveness. It is God's forgiveness you should be asking.
I'm merely trying to do God's work.
As am I.
Surely the Inquisition, someone of your importance, has no interest in this boy.
I will decide what interests me.
But the case is a foregone conclusion. A Protestant boy with a Catholic girl, there can be only one outcome.
God will decide the outcome, not you or I, monsieur.
Parents?
They are dead. In the plague.
The girl.
The girl? I have nothing to say about the girl.
So, you refuse to answer. Condemned out of your own mouth. A heretic.
I have nothing to say about the girl. It is none of your business.
Does he not understand the consequences of what he says?
I suspect he does.
Then he will die.
We will all die, monsieur. The only question is what will happen afterwards.
Does it not say in the Bible that thou shalt not kill?
You dare to quote scripture of me, heretic? I'm not here to argue canon law with the likes of you. You admit your adherence to the Protestant way. You condemn yourself out of your own mouth. Will you recant your heretic beliefs and profess your faith for the one true church and your allegiance to the Pope, God's true representative on earth?
No, I will not.
You leave me no choice. You'll be taken before the civil authorities, who have the power to condemn you to execution by the flames. May God have mercy on your soul.
The boy was stubborn, foolish. He had every opportunity.
On the contrary, he is brave, he has principles, and a faith he is willing to die for. And without such a belief, without such stubborn foolishness, could the disciples of Jesus have spread his word? He may be the one I need, monsieur.
This is the last night of my life. Tomorrow they will take me out into the courtyard and burn me. I can hear them now, dragging in the brushwood, their voices low with dread. So soon? Is it time? Who are you?
My name is Johann Nittard.
A priest?
Not a priest. A monk, if you will.
A Catholic?
Yes. I am of the Society of Jesus.
I have no need of your Catholic rites. I know that God is waiting for me, the true, loving God.
Don't insult my faith or my intelligence.
Why not? You're killing me for mine.
I thought better of you, Excamella.
What?
You impressed me. At your hearing, your faith, your bravery. Not everyone has the courage to quote the Bible at an inquisitor.
It made no difference.
It may have.
How? Will they cover my eyes so I don't see the faces of my executioners? Will they cut my throat out of mercy?
It could be arranged.
Ha!
I do have an alternative.
Yes, what is it? Or I can't, even at this last hour?
No, I have a task.
A task? I'm waiting to die and you ask me to carry out some task.
It might be preferable to the flames. On the other hand...
And how long will this task take?
Who knows? Perhaps for the rest of your life.
Well, which is how long? Another few hours?
Don't be obtuse, boy. I'm offering you a chance to live.
At what price? My faith?
No. You may disbelieve me, but I'm not interested in your conversion. What I want is your intelligence, your courage, and your skills as a surgeon.
A surgeon? But I'm not qualified.
Do this for me, and I will help you to be what you seek.
What do you want?
I want your eyes.
I set sail from Havre de Grasse in the St. John in May 1666 as an indentured servant of the West India Company of France. As near as made no difference, I was a slave. There were 220 of us in all bound for the Caribbean islands. We were joined by 7 other ships, all chartered by the West India Company under the protection of the man of war with 37 guns. Why am I writing this? Keep a journal, the Jesuit said. But why should I? I didn't swear an oath. He told me he trusted me. Anyone who would not deny his faith would not break a bargain, he said. We steered our course south, keeping as close to the coast of France as we could, for fear of the enemy. As we sailed, our fleet caused some panic among the inhabitants of the coast, as they thought us to be English raiders. To allay their fears, we hung out our colours, but they would not trust us.
I want to know everything. When you get to the Caribbeans, you will be an enemy of Spain. You will have crossed the line drawn by the Pope, dividing the world between the possessions of Spain and those of Portugal. You will be a French intruder. I want to know everything you see.
He was obviously a man of influence with the Inquisition. How could he have saved me otherwise? There was an accent, yes, but not Spanish. It didn't make any sense to me, not at the time. Then a sudden tempest surprised us and separated our ship from the rest. This storm continued for 8 days, in which time the miserable passengers were thrown to and fro on all sides of the ship, insomuch that the mariners, in their performance of their duty, were compelled to tread upon them. This journal, what guarantee have you that I will keep it?
I will be watching. God will be watching.
About the latitude of Barbados, we met an English frigate, who began to give us chase, but finding herself not to exceed us in force, presently got away. Hereupon we pursued her, firing several guns, 8-pounders at her. But at length she escaped, and we returned to our course.
I want your eyes, Excamilla.
Soon after, we came within sight of Martinique, but were frustrated by the storm. Hence we resolved to steer to Guadeloupe. Yet we could not reach this island, by reason of the said storm. So that we directed our course to the Isle of Tortuga, being the land we were bound for.
God will be watching.
Thank you.
A good day to you, Herr Nittard.
A good day to you, Signor Valenzuela.
The Queen
has sent for me. Yes, I know.
Good, good. I was just ensuring that the message had...
Yes, it has. Thank you. Good day to you.
And to you, Herr Jesuit.
Your Majesty.
At last.
I came as soon as I heard, Your Majesty.
What have I done, Father? Why does God punish me so?
Your Majesty, Mariana, is it His Majesty?
The child does not improve.
I am sorry to hear it, my lady.
This is God's punishment on us, Father.
God, in His wisdom,
would... We must do something about it.
My lady?
You will do something about it. I have decided to make you head of the Holy Office.
The Inquisition? But why, Your Majesty? Surely I can better serve you as your advisor, your confessor.
Charles, my son, does not improve. He will never be fit to rule over Spain. His sickness is not one that any of our doctors can cure. Only God can cure his affliction, and yet he does nothing.
Have faith, my lady. God moves in mysterious
Spare
ways.
Spare me your platitudes. It's clear to me that we must give him more souls.
My lady, forgive me, but that is a complete misunderstanding.
I command it.
My lady, Mariana, we have known each other since you were but a small child in Austria. I have stood beside you all these years, taught you, guided you. Have I ever advised you wrongly? Have I ever acted other than in your best interests? Your child is but 4 years old. Who knows what changes time may bring? Believe me when I tell you that the Inquisition is not the answer you seek.
Nevertheless, I have decided.
During my first months on Tortuga, I was able to make notes on what grew here, what animals abounded, how the people who lived here maintained themselves. In particular, the men who carried on the trade of bucanier, killing both cows and wild boar, smoking the meat to trade on the shores for powder and shot. These men were of no one country, but assembled themselves for various slaves escaping their indentures, runaway negroes, thieves, murderers, and others avoiding due punishment on other islands. As became their occupation, these buccaneers were excellent shots, and made themselves hardy to survive the weather and the difficulties of the life they faced. Could this really be the information the Jesuit wanted?
Thank God that one good thing has come of this. Now I am free to seek out information without suspicion. The Inquisition has eyes and ears that even I did not suspect. And now that they are at my disposal, I find it easier to keep watch on those who drive the tides of events, and on those who are washed along with them. As for the French West India Company, it has had difficulties on Tortuga, and is recalling its people,
giving them orders to sell all that was theirs in the said plantations, both the servants belonging to the company, which were sold, some for 20, and others for 30 pieces of 8, and also all other merchandises and properties. On this occasion, I was also sold, being a servant under the said company, in whose service I had left France.
The St. John arrived at Tortuga without loss. The boy is alive. I pray for his safekeeping.
Bertrand! Bertrand!
Not here. Who is it? Ah, it's you, Doctor.
I'm looking for Monsieur d'Ogeron.
A drink, Doctor?
No, I'm looking for the Governor.
Ah, it's good for your constitution, Doctor.
Yes, indeed. In moderation, Monsieur Colbert. Have you seen...
Melon! Melon! Where are you, you dog?
I really don't need...
Where the devil is he? Excuse Melon!
Monsieur.
Drink, you dog.
Colbert?
Now!
The boy is ill.
Lazy little cur.
Get away from him! Come here, boy. Let me look at you. Good God, man! What have you been feeding him? His bones and ears sticking through his flesh.
Lazy little swab. Don't work, don't eat.
And these bruises. How much did you pay for him?
Why? You want him? He's half dead already.
Thanks to your tender ministrations, I'll give you 60.
70.
70 pieces of 8. Done.
Your loss. Might as well be dead for all the use he is.
Through the good usage I received from Dr. Moulin, I began soon to recover my health. He being much more humane and civil than my first patron, he gave me both clothes and good food, and after I had served him but 1 year.
If you think so, Doctor, I do. Ah, ex-Camilla.
I'm sorry, Doctor, I didn't know you had company.
You know Monsieur d'Ogeron, don't you, Alexandre?
I've seen the Governor, sir.
Good to meet you, young man.
Thank you, sir.
We were discussing you, Alexandre.
Me, sir?
I'm going to sell you.
Sell me? But, sir, I'm happy here. Please don't do that.
I'm going to sell you for 100 pieces of 8. Is that a fair price, do you think?
Sir, but to who?
I'm going to sell you to you, my boy. Your freedom. What do you say to that, eh?
My freedom? Truly? But, sir, I have nothing. Nothing to pay you with.
That's no problem. You will owe me the money. Pay me when you have earned enough.
But, sir, I have no trade. No chance of earning that sort of money.
You are too modest, young man. Over the past year, I have taught you all I can. Put that with your 6 years' study at Nantes, and a more eligible surgeon I can't imagine.
But I have no qualification to present.
That's where Monsieur d'Ogeron has offered to assist us.
Monsieur?
Monsieur Excamelon, my task, given to me by the king himself, is to settle this island in the name of France. Not an easy task, given that the whole place is overrun with the vermin of the earth. But it is early days, and between ourselves, sometimes I am forced to take decisions, actions, which may well not be acceptable at home. I am restricted in the choice of men I have to defend the island, but defend it I must. I therefore have no choice but to issue commissions giving privateers the right to intercept and capture ships belonging to enemies of France. In return for defending our shores, they may trade any cargo, slaves, or other purchase they may take. You may have noticed that ship in the harbour. It's looking for a barber surgeon. Captain Legrand is a friend of mine. If you want the post, it's yours.
And so I came into the society of the pirates, the robbers upon the sea.
I don't want excuses, Valenzuela. I want action.
Your Majesty.
Who is responsible for the loss of these galleons?
Pirates, my lady.
Pirates? And with all the might of Spain, we cannot prevent pirates from boarding our ships, stealing our goods and murdering our subjects.
When I say pirates, my lady, what I actually mean is...
What?
What I mean is that these men are privateers sailing under commissions.
Commissions? From whom?
France, England, the United Dominions.
Are we at war with all these nations, sir?
No, Your Majesty, not all, but...
Listen to me, and listen carefully. Spain will not be humiliated by these pirates. We will not allow ourselves to be ridiculed by these outlaws. Let it be known that any Spaniard who fails to defend his country against these renegades will be brought back to Spain and tried as an enemy of the state.
And
But still, Mariana failed to see the bigger picture. For over 100 years, the wealth of the Americas, the gold and silver of the Mayans, the Incas, and the Aztecs had flowed into the coffers of Spain. With unimagined wealth there for the taking, what incentive was there for the Spanish people to do anything else? Trade and industry declined. There was hunger and despair throughout the land. The treasures flowing in with the galleons from Portobello and Veracruz flowed out to pay for the armies of Spain, seemingly at war everywhere. And when the treasure did not arrive, prevented by storm, tempest, or by pirates, it was a disaster to the Spanish treasury, but an opportunity for the merchant bankers of Europe, who stepped in to fill the breach at a price. I could see the decline and helplessness of Spain reflected in the heir to the throne, the infant Carlos II. Choking and convulsing, I only had to look down at the poor wretch to see the end of the Habsburgs and the end of Spain.
Quiet now, lads. The lady there. Keep her steady. Gently. Gently. That's it. Now up we go, lads. Quiet, you dog. Now, Monsieur Excormella, while the men can still see you, bore some holes in the planking below the waterline.
But you'll sink, Captain.
Do it, mister. There's no half measures here. We either do or we don't. We live or we die. There's no way back. The men need to know that. Best you should too. With your task while the rest of us take us a better ship to sail. Either way, there'll be work for you to do after it's over, Monsieur le Docteur.
Such was their surprise that Captain Legrand took the Spaniard with only the 4 sailors on watch killed, and none of our men hurt. Contrary to his promise, I had no work to do, for the dead were heaved over the side with no memorial, no word said over them. It was a rare escape from the horrors that I had seen over the months. Men dying in agony, hacked to pieces with grapeshot, legs blown half away, leaving me to saw away the rest. The dead were the lucky ones. The next day we left the master and his officers, and the rest of the crew that would not serve under Legrand, on the shore of Hispaniola. We put back to Tortuga, where we sold the cargo. My share as surgeon was more than enough to pay the good Dr. Moulin, and so I found myself a free man at last. Legrand was bound for France, but despite the horrors I faced here, my terror of the Inquisition kept me from sailing with him.
Heary, heary! Be it known that the famous Admiral Henry Morgan does call upon his friends and companions of the Brethren of the Coast of Tortuga to join in his adventures against the Spanish nation. He has been commissioned by Governor Modiford of Jamaica to take prisoners of the Spanish nation, whereby he may gain information of that enemy to attack Jamaica, of which he has had frequent and strong advice. Heary, heary! Admiral Morgan will assemble his fleet in the Keys south of Cuba by the end of March, this year of our Lord, 1668. Heary, heary!
It was the first time I heard the name Henry Morgan, and I wish to God I'd been deaf to it. Even now I do not know whether to bless him or curse him.
I have received news, gentlemen, that the fleet we have sent to protect the galleons and the floater has arrived in the West Indies. Of the 6 ships of war we sent under the command of Admiral Alonso del Campo y Espinosa, 2 have sailed to Veracruz to protect the vessels of the floater, 2 will remain at Cartagena to protect the galleons, and the remaining 2 will sail from Havana to sweep the seas off the western coast of Cuba, clear of these vermin of the sea. However, it seems that our brethren in New Spain are never to be satisfied. I have by the same dispatch a letter from the Viceroy of Mexico complaining that the cost of maintaining these ships is too expensive for the provinces, and in addition the ships are too large for the task in hand. I quote the letter, gentlemen. They draw so much water that they cannot chase the small and nimble privateer among the shallow channels between the quays, or seek them out among the scores of small bays. Too expensive, too large. If I send nothing, they complain. If I send our best warships, they complain. What do these honourable gentlemen want? Despite signing a treaty with the King of England, we are once again forced to defend our rightful possessions against these perfidious attacks from Jamaica. They have already attacked our town of Puerto Principe in Cuba and Portobello in Panama. Chief amongst these invaders is one Henry Morgan.
And that was the first time I heard the name of Henry Morgan, the man the English were starting to call the second Francis Drake.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard His Majesty's ship, Oxford. I am much obliged by your presence. More comfortable than our usual berths, I'm sure you'll agree. Please sit down, all of you. Now, you all know why we're here. Our target. I propose we attack Cartagena. We have a total of 900 men. That's twice as many as when we took Portobello. We have 12 ships, including this fine gift from the English government. And the warship, the Satisfaction, a gift, I believe, from the King of France. True, His Majesty does not know he has given it to us, but we thank him nevertheless. Cartagena, gentlemen, will not be an easy target, guarded as she is by several castles, especially the castle of San Felipe. But I believe that we have the might and the will to do it, and it is certain that the rewards for success will be great indeed. Now, gentlemen, I have talked enough. Let us hear what you have to say.
Hey, Surgeon, Frenchie, what are you staring at?
Fine ship, Mr. Mate.
What? Yeah.
I was just thinking. Wondering where we're going.
There's no good thinking. Just collect your share and the hell with the rest.
Yes, I suppose so.
Take my tip. Let Morgan do the thinking. Got head on him, that one. You at Portobello?
Yes.
Let Morgan do the thinking, lad. He'll see us all right.
So, we are all agreed, gentlemen. Cartagena it is. I thank you all for your advice and support. And now I think we deserve some refreshment. Break out the rum there. I trust you will all join me for dinner.
It's getting dark.
Aye, and they'll be getting down to some serious drinking.
I dare say we should light the riding lights.
Who's in charge of this here ship, Frenchie? You or me? Well, I'll see when we light the lamps.
They're lighting them on the Oxford.
Well, so they are.
Captain Islet won't be able to find his way back without our lights.
He won't be back just yet. Annie can see in the dark, that one.
I was just thinking...
You think too much, Mr. Surgeon. You wanna be... My God!
Quick, get a boat in the water.
What for?
Just do it, there may be survivors.
No one could live through that.
Then we can pick up the bodies. Get the boat!
Get in, you two. Come on, get in and row. Damn you.
To port, over there, row!
Well?
He's dead.
I'll throw him back.
No, he deserves a Christian burial.
Oh, I doubt it.
Over there, another.
Slowly, lads.
There, to port. I've got him. This one's alive. Help me.
Is he...
Unconscious, but he's breathing. Come on. Come on, man. Bring a light.
Here.
You're all right. Can you talk?
Too well for the liking of some.
Captain Morgan.
Morgan?
Harry Morgan. What happened? In God's name, tell me.
The Oxford. She just blew apart, sir.
The others. Where are they? Where are the others?
Lay back, Captain. We'll find them. Pull on, lads, to starboard. Cover that cut on his head, Mr. Mate. The water itself burned. The fires of hell reached out for these beasts of men. But it seemed that God was on the Welshman's side, at least on his side of the dinner table. All the men sitting next to him survived the explosion of the powder magazine. All those sitting opposite were killed, including my own captain, Islet of the privateer, Lily. Maybe it was a sign. With the Welshman on your side, maybe you were invincible. But I can still hear the cries of the dying, the 250 souls who died that night. All I could do was to lift the charred corpses from the burning water.
So you're the lad who pulled me out of the water that night?
I am, sir.
I owe you my life, it seems, Mr. Excamelan.
No, sir. I would have done the same for any man.
Even a Spaniard?
I'm a surgeon, sir. I try to save life when I can.
What can I give you to show you my thanks? Your own command, your own ship?
Thank you, sir, but no.
No? Then what? Money? Gold?
Again, I have to say no.
No command? No gold? You're a strange creature indeed. Then why are you here, Mr. Surgeon? You're not English. You owe no loyalty to a foreign flag.
With respect, sir, neither are you.
Is it so obvious, even to a Frenchman? But why you, Mr.?
If you insist on asking me why I'm here, then I have to tell you. I am here because of a promise I made in exchange for my life. More than that, I will not say.
A promise? An honorable man indeed. A rare beast in this herd of stinking humanity. Very well, Mr. Surgeon. Keep your own counsel, and I will respect your silence. But I also am honor-bound. It is my duty to tell you that when I find a man such as yourself, then my interest is clear. I will keep him close to me. Get your belongings transferred across to my ship. I want you near me, mister. You may well save my life again.
I could see him thinking, what sort of death would make a man prefer to risk himself as a privateer, with no thought of fortune or glory? To suffer these hardships and deprivations of this buccaneer life without the pleasure of the rewards. How could he know that he was asking the wrong question?
Come.
Signor Nizzard.
A rare honor, Don Valenzuela.
Come in, sit down. I'm sorry the room is so lacking in comforts. My time with the Society of Jesus, you understand.
Of course.
You look worried. Is there something I can help you with? A spiritual matter?
No, not spiritual.
Forgive me.
The Queen.
Ah, a political matter.
The Queen has asked my advice.
Yes, go on.
About how to deal with Modiford.
Ah, yes, the governor of Jamaica.
The illegal leader of the occupying powers in Jamaica.
Of course. Don Valenzuela, you cannot be overheard here. You may speak frankly.
But your position as head of the Holy Office.
Ah, I see. You are perfectly correct, Don Valenzuela. There is every reason that you should not trust me. Am I not responsible for ensuring the faithful adhere strictly to the teachings of the Holy Roman Church? That each and every one of His Holiness's flock does not stray from the straight and narrow path? Do I not have the power to have men burned for their heretic beliefs, broken upon the wheel, torn limb from limb? Do I not have eyes and ears everywhere, seeking out the unfaithful, the recalcitrant, the unbelieving, the politically dubious?
I meant no disrespect.
No, you are right to be suspicious of me. I do have all these powers, these responsibilities. And as well as all this, I have been the Queen's tutor, her confessor, her friend, for all these years. But I tell you, Don Valenzuela, my first duty is to God and His Church, and my second is to my king and to Spain.
You do not mention the Queen.
If the king were, by some miracle, to become what we would all wish him to be, then my duty would not have changed, merely the conduit by which it is channeled. Valenzuela, there is no one listening in an alcove behind the tapestries. Tell me what concerns you, and I swear that it will go no further.
The English are preparing to defend Jamaica.
If you were English, and living upon that island, raising your plantation in the baking heat, raising children to take over from you, would you too not wish to defend what you had built?
But all the lands to the west of the line belong to Spain. They are illegal occupiers of our lands. They have no right to be there.
And the French on Tortuga, Martinique, Guadeloupe, the Hollanders on Curaçao, Ruba?
All illegal settlers.
Then what do you suggest? That Spain declares war on everyone?
That is what the Queen seems to want.
And you know that this is not possible.
No.
Then you know what to do.
What?
Tell her the truth. Military action will only provoke retaliation. People who have settled, people who till the land, need security. People who are merchants need to trade. None of this do we allow them. And why? Because of a decision made by a long-dead pope to divide the world.
The papal edict is infallible.
Of course. That is why the original Intercatera Bull was replaced by a revised version one day later. Valenzuela, only heaven and God's law are eternal, unchanging. We who live below that realm, we see that the world changes. We see it happening every day. Accept it, Valenzuela.
Change? This is an unusually worldly attitude for a man in your position.
I am a pragmatist. I am also an Austrian. Would you expect me to see the world through Spanish eyes? My advice to you would be to use peaceful means to remove your obstacles. All men are vulnerable. They each have their weaknesses, their vanities. Find Thomas Modiford's weakness, then exploit it. Find his enemies and help them to discredit him.
Pragmatism. That's the key to it, Mr. Ex-Gamelin. Pragmatism and surprise. We no longer have the men or ships to attack Cartagena. So what do we do? run home like dogs with our tails between our legs. No! We look for another target, and lo and behold, what do we find? A Frenchman who sailed with a butcher, Lolonois. And what prize does he suggest? Maracaibo. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
It's been 3 years since he sacked it. Plenty of time for them to have settled down again. We've got the same number of ships, roughly the same number of men, and the Frenchman knows the layout of the place, fortifications, channels. So, Maracaibo it is.
I knew Maracaibo. Tortuga was buzzing with it when I got there first. Lorenoir and Maracaibo. Lorenoir the butcher. Lorenoir the torturer. In a brutal world, he was the worst. They say he cut a man's heart out and ate it. That he burned people alive over a fire pit. Lorenoir.
Yes?
Some of his methods...
When we get there, to Maracaibo, the memory of Lolonois will be the most powerful weapon we have.
But some of the things he did...
Do you think I want to do this? Don't you think I would rather be at home planting sugarcane with my wife playing with my nephews and nieces?
Why don't you?
I haven't got that choice, Mr. Surgeon. I am a soldier of the king. There is no one else to protect them.
And no other form of defense other than attack.
The Spaniard's keeping you busy, Mr. Surgeon.
Aye, sir. Get this one back to the ship.
This wind.
This man's dead.
Blowing sand into everything, keeping us bogged down.
How long can this go on?
Wait till dark, mister. The wind will drop. We'll take them.
Captain, this man is dying.
I can see that.
Get him back to the ship.
What's your name, son?
Eli, Captain.
You did well, Eli. You did me proud. You did us all proud. Belay that order. Bury him instead. Mercy, Mr. Surgeon. Sometimes it's better that way.
The wind dropped as he said it would. Darkness fell. And with nothing to shoot at, the guns fell into an eerie silence.
Mr. Surgeon, come with me.
Aye, sir. Why me?
You're my lucky charm, mister. Quietly now. Keep your head down. So far, so good. Follow the wall around. The gate. It's open.
A trap?
Perhaps, but quietly now. Can you hear that?
I can't hear anything.
Exactly. Search the place, Mr. Mate. Be quiet, lads.
I can't hear anything.
No.
But I can smell something.
So can I, lad. So can I. That smoke.
What is it?
Slow match. I'd recognize it anywhere. Get the men out of here. Quick. Where is it?
There. Over there. A flame.
Well, Mr. Surgeon, that's the best day's work you'll ever do. 100 lives saved in a single minute. What did I tell you? You really are my lucky charm. Mr. Mate!
Aye, Captain.
All the weapons, powder, shot, provisions you can carry, to the ships. Any cannons we can take, then spike the rest.
Aye, sir.
As for you, Mr. Excamelan, what will you write in your journal tonight?
My journal?
Don't look so surprised, mister. I've watched you scribbling away in the night.
But why?
Every time I see a light aboard at night, I want to be damned sure that little candle's not going to be mixed with drink and blow me out of the water again. But your journal's hardly going to do that now, is it?
Your Majesty, Signor Nithard, a pleasure.
Don Fernando.
Signor Valenzuela.
The recommendations I asked you for, where are they?
I have been working on them, my lady.
And where are they?
Well, your Majesty...
Don Fernando and I have discussed the matter in some detail, your Majesty, and have come to the conclusion that it would be best to negotiate a new treaty with the English ambassador.
A new treaty? With what purpose? To give away even more to these marauding dogs?
It is in the interests of Spain to stop these attacks on our settlements.
We will send warships, an army if necessary.
Majesty, with respect, armies need to be fed, to be paid for.
We must do it.
The treasury is already in considerable difficulty.
Difficulty?
The bankers of Augsburg have started to question your Majesty's ability to service our loans.
German pigs, how dare they?
If I may say...
Silence! When did this happen?
I spoke to the minister at the treasury only yesterday, my lady. We need the revenue from the galleons, your Majesty. So far, none has returned this year. This may be because of weather conditions, or it may be because of piracy. We do not know. But so long as the treasure from the Americas is delayed, the bankers will not agree to extend...
Enough! Always the realist, Juan Eduardo. Very well. A treaty with England. Tell me, what will it achieve?
Forgive me, Majesty, but before we contemplate negotiations with England, there are some fundamentals we must accept. The first of these is that the English, the French, and the Dutch will not leave our territories in the Indies of their own free will, and neither do we have the force necessary to make them do so. They do not and will never accept the papal edict that the Indies belongs to Spain. If we accept these as facts, it follows that we must reach some accommodation with them. The question is, who do we want to deal with? With those who need to defend the land they have settled and planted, or those who wish simply to trade? I suggest the latter.
Negotiate? From a position of weakness? It goes against all you have taught me, Father.
Just because we are forced to negotiate does not mean that there is nothing that can be done to alter the scales in our favour.
Meaning?
We need to be able to determine who is in the ascendant, the planters or the merchants. At present it is the planters, led by Sir Thomas Modiford, and championed by the celebrated and, it has to be admitted, successful Henry Morgan.
That name again! Am I never to hear the end of this man? And the merchants?
Signor Valenzuela has made the most valuable discovery that Sir Thomas and Captain Morgan have a rival. An enemy who disagrees strongly with their tactics.
His name?
His name is Thomas Lynch, Your Majesty. And he has powerful friends at the English court.
I shall think on what you say, gentlemen. But in retaliation for Morgan's attack on Maracaibo, I have already written to all the provincial governors and the governors of the cities of Cartagena, Portobello, Panama, and Veracruz, instructing them to execute all hostilities that are permitted and to take possession of all ships and islands and other places where the English are to be found. Gentlemen, until your new treaty, we are at war with England.
Governor Harry, the defence of Jamaica is my responsibility. Lord Arlington sits in his comfortable house in London. He doesn't have to worry about Spanish cutthroats breaking down his front door and carrying off his wife and children at the point of a sword. The worst that could happen to him is to fall out of bed in the morning. I've no choice, Harry. Look, here. Commissions found on a Spanish privateer. And here. A copy of a letter from the Queen Regent herself to the Governor of Paraguay. What more proof does London need? and all I get from them is weight. Ambassador Godolphin is negotiating a new treaty with Madrid. Spanish are raising commissions to attack us. There are rumours of a full-scale land attack against Jamaica itself. And I am allowed to do nothing. Harry, stop grinning at me and say something. This silence is not like you.
Have you finished? Good. Unless you decide we are to sit here with our hands tied behind our backs, we have no choice whatsoever. They killed Bernard the Dutchman in retaliation for Portobello. We have the witnesses and their written depositions. These wildcat attacks on the coast by this braggart Pardal have got the planters into a complete panic. You know what you have to do, Thomas. Summon the Island Council and formally request their advice, and trust me, I'll make sure it's the advice we need to hear. You deal with the politics, Sir Thomas, and let Captain Morgan do what he does best.
And what Harry Morgan did best was lead men, and lead as he did, from the mouth of the River Chagres through impenetrable jungle, high mountain passes and sharp-sided gorges, across the isthmus to the plain of Panama itself. If Cartagena, Portobello, and Veracruz were the limbs of the Spanish body, then Panama was its heart, and like Lorenoir before him, Morgan cut it out and devoured it. Even though they had warning we were coming, and formed up to fight us outside the city, with 1,200 men, Morgan overcame the 1,700 Spanish and took the city. But as they fled the town, they set fire to their houses to prevent us from looting them, and we were forced to put out the fires to try to preserve our purchase. Most of the town's riches had been sent out to sea on the galleon, the Santissima Trinidada. Morgan sent Captain Searle and his men to capture it, but whether because of Searle's incompetence or the drunken debaucheries of his crew, the treasure was carried to safety. When everything was accounted for, all we took was the equivalent of 400,000 pieces of eight to be shared among us. The men were unhappy.
Well, what does your journal say now, Mr. Excamelan?
It says you have won a great victory. Where Drake failed, you succeeded.
But?
But the plunder was nothing like what the men and you were expecting.
Did we? Did we win a great victory? Will Spain throw up its hands and say no more? Will they let us live in peace with our families? I wonder. What about your family, mister? You've never spoken of them. Will you go back to them now?
There may be nothing to go back to.
But how will you know, mister? How will you know?
I blame Morgan for this.
All that and for what? Hardly enough to keep us in run.
It wasn't Morgan's fault. If Searle had captured the galleon...
I did capture the galleon, Mr. Surgeon.
I was with Morgan when you came back empty-handed, Captain Searle. I heard what happened. I heard your excuses.
Then you must have heard wrong, Frenchy. I took the galleon, and all she had aboard. There was nothing. Nothing but the nuns from the church. We had them too. Didn't we, lads? All of us.
Aye, Captain.
So if you want to make up any more lies, Mr. Surgeon, I suggest you get yourself a pistol and a sword so we can settle the matter like gentlemen, eh?
I didn't make it up. I heard what you said. You let it go. You and your crew were too drunk.
Drunk? Was I? Was I?
Of course, lads. There's one way you can increase your share. This one gets a little bonus for his instruments and extra because he's a surgeon. So now all the fighting's over. If he had a little accident, we would miss him. That's more for all of us, I'd say. And he's Morgan's special good luck charm. Maybe he won't be quite so lucky if his friend had a little accident, slipped and fell, too near the edge of the fire pit. What's the matter, Frenchie? Too hot for you?
No, please! You can have my share!
We'll have it anyway, Mr. Surgeon. This way we can see what's waiting for us in hell, can't we, lad?
No! No!
Throw him in.
What were you saying, Mr. Searle, about hell? I've got one shot left. Who's it going to be? You, lad? Let the surgeon go. Or you, Captain Searle?
It was only a joke, Harry.
My lucky charm isn't laughing, mister.
Just a joke. No hard feelings, hey, Mr. Surgeon.
I figure it's all square now, Mr. Excamella. Time to go home, I think.
Harry Morgan set sail for Jamaica, but some of the French buccaneers sailed to Tortuga because they heard that a new peace treaty had been signed between England and Spain, and feared for their safety at Jamaica. As for me, I had seen enough fighting, death and mutilation, and so I took passage on a Dutchman bound for Amsterdam and started my long journey home to face whatever awaited me there.
Mynheer Esquemeling, there's a man to see you.
I have stopped seeing patients tonight.
He is not one of those, Mynheer.
Then who?
A friend. You may leave us, my dear. I see you did not need my help to achieve your dream of becoming a surgeon, Alexandre Olivier.
No.
I am glad to see you alive. And looking so well.
Why? I am still a Huguenot. I am still Protestant. In your eyes, I am still a heretic. But you should know that all I have seen, all I have suffered, has not changed my faith in God's love.
Then I see that I made the right choice all those years ago. I have come...
I know why you have come.
The journal.
What makes you think that I did what you asked?
You made a promise.
Why should I have kept it? I was in fear of my life. I would have promised anything.
I think not. I did not misjudge you that night in the condemned cell, with the stake before your eyes and the smell of hellfire in your nostrils. Nor do I misjudge you now. You made a promise before God. You would not have betrayed that promise.
There.
May I?
They are yours. The price of my soul, I think.
Not quite, Alexandre Olivier.
Then what?
We shall see. Another small task, perhaps. I will return when I have read your account. Until then...
I watched him go with my journals in his hands. What did he expect to find in them? What was he looking for? My part of the bargain is complete, Jesuit, and yet you seek to use me again. What moves you? Such a trusting torturer, a papist puppet. What more do you want of me?
Sir Thomas, welcome back to Jamaica.
Governor Modiford, I am eternally grateful to the good Lord to be here after the voyage we've had.
Then come, let us waste no more time. I am anxious to see your commission, and it has been many years since the King appointed a lieutenant governor. My coach is at your disposal, and we have prepared lunch at the King's house, so that we may conduct our discussions in rather better comfort than the confines of a cabin aboard a man of war.
I fear that lunch must wait a while, Sir Thomas. I have here a warrant for your arrest and return to England as a prisoner of state.
What? Lynch, you can't!
If you are able to study my commission, Sir Thomas, you would clearly see that I not only can, but will. You will be confined to your cabin aboard His Majesty's frigate until the ship arrives back in London. To ensure your cooperation, your son, Charles, has been taken to the Tower of London as security for your good behaviour.
No! This is monstrous!
I cannot say I am sorry that this has come about, Sir Thomas, because you well know that I have disagreed with your conduct of the defence of this island for many years. In the light of the new accord between England and Spain, the King can clearly not be seen to be allowing the Governor of Jamaica to carry out such a provocative policy of defence, one that includes the destruction of the fort at the mouth of the River Chagres and the willful sacking of the Spanish town of Panama.
But...
And speaking of provocative policy, where is Captain Morgan?
Sick and in his bed. If you intend to arrest him too, then now would be the perfect time for you, sir.
I have no warrant for his arrest. At least, not at present. But it is clear that we will need to make examples of some of these privateers for their crimes against our Spanish friends. I think if we hang a few, that will ensure that they don't take it into their minds to attempt to usurp the King's authority.
Don't be a fool, Lynch. Drive the privateers away and Jamaica will be helpless in the face of any power who wants to take it.
We are at peace, Modiford. We have agreements to trade with our friends, the Spanish. This bellicose posturing is a product of another era. We have no need for your pirate friends in this new age. Take him away.
So, you have returned.
I said I needed your surgeon's skills all those years ago, and I was right.
You've read the journals?
Accurate, observant, analytical, precise, not swayed by emotion.
I was always an outsider, forced there by circumstances, not by free will.
The others?
Beasts, most of them. Herded to their slaughter. Those that lived squandered their shares in the taverns and brothels, drinking, whoring, fighting, for the fun of it.
And those who died?
I saved those I could. English, French, Dutch, and Spanish. Protestant and Catholic alike.
And yet you call them beasts?
They all had souls, Jesuit. They all had dreams, even if they were not my dreams. They all wanted to live for something.
The world is brutal. Only God can raise us up above the beasts.
And yet you sent me to be a slave, knowing what would become of me.
You were never a beast, Alexandre or Olivier. With such a shining spirit, God was watching over you.
And now? Is my task over, or is there another?
You knew Henry Morgan.
Yes, I knew him.
What was he like?
Not like the others. Some I sailed with were cruel, enjoyed the fear in men's eyes, laughed the sound of their cries of pain, tortured them after they had told everything they knew. L'Oronnois was...
Yes, but Morgan...
Morgan was never cruel. In battle he was merciless. I saw him fight. I saw him kill. But I never saw him take pleasure in it. He told me once he was a soldier. He did what he had to do to win the battle, to secure the plunder. He threatened, he took hostages, but always the end was clear. If he said he would release hostages, he released them. He took no pleasure in inflicting suffering.
And yet they say...
Whoever says otherwise did not know the man. I stood next to him at Maracaibo. I marched with him to Panama. I suffered the hardships and deprivation that he himself suffered.
But surely as the commander, the leader...
He never asked his men to do anything that he would not do himself. He ate the same food... Slept in the same ditches, fought alongside them. He knew them. He knew that they were only there for the plunder. They owed no oath of allegiance. They followed him because they respected him, and he brought them victory. I think they loved him.
Loved him?
Yes.
And what did he love?
His land. His family.
He had children?
No. There was a great sadness in him that he had no son to inherit his plantations, to take over from him.
So he chose battle. He fought instead, killing, maiming.
No. If you had offered him the chance to be at home with his wife, he would have taken it without a moment's hesitation.
Then why was he there?
He was a soldier. His duty lay with his country. First Jamaica, then England.
And his loyalty?
To its leader. First Cromwell and then King Charles.
You respected him?
Yes.
You loved him?
Yes. As God is my judge.
I knew then that I could not ask him to do more than he had already done. I would have to do this last filthy thing alone. I could not stain such a soul with the foul, mean lies I would have to invent.
He left without another word, taking my journals with him. And yet, as he turned to walk out into the night, I thought I caught a flash of his eyes, bright with tears in the flickering candlelight.
Good morning, Mynheer Eskmerling. There's a man to see you.
First patient of the day. Good. To work. Send him in.
Not a patient, Mynheer.
No?
I don't think so, sir. He's very excited.
Not many patients are excited to see me, I grant you. Send him in.
Mynheer.
Good morning, Mr. Eskmerling.
Yes. Can I help you?
I rather think I can help you, Mr. Eskmerling.
I don't know your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about the book. My name is Jan ten Horn.
My book?
The American Buccaneers.
I'm sorry, what?
It's just a wonderful story. Wherever did you get the ideas from? No, don't tell me. There's plenty of time for that. But you must come to my office at once, sir. I will draw up the contract straight away.
Contract?
Yes, to publish your book. Congratulations, sir. I'm so proud to actually meet you.
But where did you get...
Your manuscript?
Yes.
Why, your agent, of course. The Austrian gentleman. Hey, Johann.
Mr. Ten Horn almost dragged me to his office. As we entered the room, I looked to find my journals on his desk. But now that I had seen the Jesuit's hand in this, it was no surprise that what I found was a copy, in another's hand. But I thought no more of it.
Here it is, Mr. Eskmerling, the first Dutch edition.
So...
See the title page? The American Buccaneers by A.O. Eskmerling, 1678. What do you think of that, Mr. Eskmerling?
Very...
I'm sure you're as delighted as I am.
Nice. To see my name on that beautifully bound, tooled leather book with those wonderful pictures.
Yes, delighted. Now, about the next edition...
Another edition? So soon?
Why, yes, did I not tell you? The first is already sold out, and I have already had inquiries about the possibility of an edition in German.
In German?
Yes. Your Herr Johann says he will make the translation himself.
Herr Johann? Again? But why?
Why? For profit, my dear Eskmerling. What other reason could he have? Oh, yes, Mynheer. I believe this book will change your life forever.
If I had known what was to happen... I would never have let my vanity get the better of me.
Your friend, Herr Johann, seems to be able to work miracles. I have never known a book to be so in demand in so many different languages. He also proposes to translate it from the German into Spanish. Is he in league with the devil, do you think?
Just the opposite, he would claim. But of course, he is the perfect person to do the translation.
Why do you say that?
He is Austrian. His first language is German. And there are his dealings with...
Dealings with?
Spain. He has business interests in Spain.
It's just that, in my experience, the problem of translation of a book into another language is not... Well...
What?
Well, to be frank, the problem is not with the translation of the words themselves, but the acceptability of their work to the marketplace.
I don't pretend to understand.
What I mean to say is, what may well be acceptable to a Dutch audience may not be quite so palatable to a French one, depending, of course, on the state of relations between the various countries at the time.
What I wrote was the truth. I saw it happen.
The truth? The truth? But forgive me, monsieur, you saw the truth through your eyes. French eyes. They're not the same as Dutch eyes. Or German. Certainly not Spanish.
I don't believe I...
Take my word for it, monsieur. Translations are always, shall we say, modified to suit their readers. We are in the business of selling books after all, eh?
I had little knowledge of the workings of such publishers, and only now did I realise that he had made alterations to the text specifically to please the Dutch readers of the book. No doubt the same would happen when the book was translated into German, and then into Spanish. However, it made little difference to me. That is, until the publication of the book in England.
Does one damn a legend? Henry Morgan was a legend, a hero. He had succeeded where the great Drake had failed. He had singed the beard of the old enemy in a way that no Englishman had done for nearly 100 years. To them, the man was a hero. And yet, I had no choice. It was my duty. My duty to my Lady Mariana, my duty to Spain, my duty to the Holy Mother Church. It was the hardest thing I had ever done. I took Excommelin's journal and corrupted it. Morgan would become the most hated man in Spain.
How could Morgan have known that what he read was not my words? And yet he did. Was it because we had stood shoulder to shoulder at Maracaibo? Was it because we had trudged together through the jungles of Panama? Was it because I had saved his life?
It was the matter of a moment to ensure that the English translation was made from the Spanish version. I damned him as surely as if I had cast him into hell myself. And damned myself with him.
I knew who had changed my manuscript. There was only one person, and he hid himself behind the name of the translator. But I knew.
Dear God, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin of pride, for believing that I could try to make some difference to this world through my own actions. To those I have crushed, manipulated, tortured in the name of what I decided was the greater good. Forgive me for the evil lies I have invented, every falsehood I inserted, every foul action I attributed to Morgan is an offense against your truth, a mean, cowardly attack on the reputation of an honorable man. I have broken your commandment. Forgive me, Lord. I beg you in your infinite mercy to forgive me.
And he confessed it, to me at least. The author of the English version was given as one John Esquemeling, a corruption of my name, joined forever with the English version of his Herr Johann.
There was no doubting the truth of what Excommelin had written of this man. And now I turned his every action against him. I, once a shining beacon of your truth, but now a corrupter, a coward who never appeared except to hide behind the cover of another's name, who never dared creep out of the shadows of his own shame.
Was Ten Horn right? Is truth, like beauty, Merely perception. A trick of the light. Was what I wrote in my journals. My book. The truth. My book. It had ceased to be my book the day Ten Horn had first translated it. The travesty that my book had now become described Harry Morgan as a pirate. It accused him of torture and rape. And worst of all, to his mind at least, it claimed that he had been taken to the Caribbean as a slave. Morgan sued the English publishers. They retracted everything, and no one ever contradicted him. But no damages, however great, would make up for the loss of his good name, his honour. He could never get satisfaction, not from the true perpetrator. Only I knew the truth of his identity. And what could I do? What could anyone do to him, so high, so powerful, so untouchable in the sanctuary of his great church? The man who had torn my beating heart from my chest, and who had damned my comrade, my friend, damned him forever as Henry Morgan, the pirate. Once the evil seeds of doubt and lies are planted...
Forgive me my sin against your truth, Lord. But how can you forgive my betrayal of the boy? How could I twist his truth? Deny the courage and honour of the man he respected, the man he loved. With each word, I feel the rack twist. With every lie, the flames of hell grow higher. Come.
My Lord Cardinal, a package has been delivered for you.
Very well. Will you open it for me?
Yes, my lord. It seems to be...
What?
Silver, your eminence.
Is there a message, Francesco?
No, my lord.
Thank you.
Will there be anything else, my lord?
Not tonight.
My lord.
Francesco, wait. There is one more thing. Will you pray for me? For my soul?
I will, my lord.
He would know who had sent them.
I have sinned, Lord, against your truth. Forgive me.
He would not need to count them.
Forgive me.
He would know. 30 pieces of silver.
Dear God, forgive me.
Excamellum was played by Steve Davis, the Inquisitor, Colbert, Captain Legrand, and Captain Searle were played by Kevin Morgan. The Priest, Dr. Moulin, and Morgan's Mate were played by Roger Thomas. Governor d'Ogeron, Thomas Lynch, and Jan Ten Horn were played by Paul Buckle. Don Valenzuela was Kevin Welsh. Queen Regent Mariana was Janet Holloway. The Town Crier, Thomas Modiford, and the Mate of the Lily were played by Nick Pratt. Henry Morgan was Michael Gacken. Eli and Francesco were played by Andrew Goldsworthy. The Maid was Claire Davis. And Nittard was played by Nigel Holloway. This was a Concept Players presentation for Katisha Productions.